Good morning, everybody. Glad you're here. All right, so you can open your Bibles. We are still in Colossians 3. Been telling you we're just kind of stepping through that chapter. There's a lot to talk about there in Colossians chapter 3, as with all the Bible. But this has proven to be kind of helpful, I think, and there's just too much in there I don't want to really pass up. So we're just going to focus on one verse today. We're going to focus on verse 16, and it's looking at God's the word of Christ, actually, is how it talks about it. We'll kind of get into that. But for now, if you'll stand with me as we read God's word together, and we'll pray and get to work. So Colossians 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, as we this morning focus on your word and what that means to us and what it should mean to us and how it should impact our lives and change our lives. Lord, I pray this morning that you'll help me to speak only your truth, but Father, more so, I pray that you'll let all of us accept your truth. It changes us and transforms us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. So as we kind of step into this, a distinction here that it makes is it talks about the word of Christ. So basically just kind of start there. What is it talking about, the word of Christ? Is that the same or different than the word of God? I think when we look at this, that's not two separate words, we know that, but in the perspective that Paul has, I think what he's wanting us to include is that certain context or perspective of a risen Lord. So as we think about this, I think it's even more fruitful and exciting. We think about what Paul's trying to tell us is like, look, all the scripture is God-breathed, we know that, but Paul also had this perspective of Jesus came and he said to fulfill the law. So this truth, this stuff that Paul's referring to in this word is all of Scripture. Now we have even more bound in Paul when he said the word that was, of course, the Old Testament and all of that. Well, now we have all of Scripture, the New Testament and the Old. And so as we consider Paul's instructions here and what he's going to tell us in this verse, we know that we have been blessed because we have a perspective of Scripture looking back on a risen Lord. And it certainly includes all Scripture. There's nothing different about that. But we should celebrate and appreciate the fact that we have this perspective in our time that we can look for God's Word and why it's so important to us. I think there's three different ways it says that certainly it's saying that the word of Christ or Scripture should be centered in our life. And I think there's three different ways that I see in here in this one verse where how the word of Christ should be centered in our lives. First, I think it tells us we should be centered in our heart. That the word of Christ should be centered in our heart. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." So right there at the beginning, we see where it's telling us two words, "let dwell," actually comes from one word in the Greek, but it's very informative and helpful to us, I think. First, to say we see where it's translated there, "dwell." Now, that's talking about inhabit. That's kind of a poke in the ribs to some of us, or maybe a step on the toes. This is not talking about that. You accept God's word on Sunday morning, but then it's gone by 12:30. Amen? It's talking about dwell. So it's saying the scripture, the word of Christ, is to dwell in your heart. It takes up residence in your heart. It's with you all of the time. One of the things with the way we pastors will try to craft their sermon, if you will, is so that it makes it so people will retain it and think about it throughout the week. But look, some of that is on y'all, right? I mean, so not just sermons, but just God's word in general, that this is something you think about and ponder on all the way through the week. This is a part of your day. This is a part of your walk in your life. You're thinking about what you've read and what's been taught to you in small group, what's been preached to you on Sunday morning, that all of this word, that it dwells with you and it resides with you. But also, it says to let it dwell. And, you know, learning God's word should not be work to us. There should be a disciplines involved with studying Scripture, and we should, try to memorize Scripture. There's things we should be doing. But imagine how much we would accomplish if we just simply allow the word to reside in us. Sometimes we think about how much effort it must take to learn God's word we take Bible classes or whatever, and it doesn't have to be that difficult. We just simply need to let it be a part of who we are and a major part of our life. Simply get out of the way and just let this thing happen. In fact, I think the average Christian would probably experience tremendous spiritual growth if they would just reevaluate the priorities in their life and rearrange them. And what I mean by priorities, I mean, what do you think about all day long? Right? There's a lot of things we think about. You know, like this week, I was thinking about the sermon. I was thinking about, I promised Melissa that I'd hang the blinds up this weekend. You know, there's all kinds of stuff you think about, right? There's tons of things we think about. But do you allow the Word of God to dwell in you? Do you allow the Word of God to be always a part of your thoughts and what you're doing? That doesn't mean we always think about the Word and nothing else. We know it's not practical, but is the Word of God a part of your day-to-day life, a part of all your experiences and what you're doing and all your plans and whatnot? What also says this other adjective, to let it dwell in you richly? Well, that really kind of raises the bar. So not only is it supposed to dwell in you, that you let the Word of God dwell in you, that you sort of do the bare minimum. No, it's saying you let it dwell in you richly. So that's why I think when you look at this, you think about, so this should be identifiable and identifiable and instinctive, say this again, I'm like getting tongue-tied, an identifiable and distinctive manner, right? So when people look at you or think about you, they're like, well, that person studies Scripture. That person is well-versed in Scripture. Not because you're quoting Scripture to them all the time, although with some of our friends that probably isn't a bad idea, but if they see you living out Scripture, they know this is why you are the way you are, is because of Scripture, what you know in God's Word. In fact, sometimes you'll probably find yourself to say, well, why do you handle it like this? And you can say, and you have this Scripture in your mind, well, this is why I behave this way. This is why I act this way to the person that is saying hateful words to me, or the person I don't get along with, or just, whenever I'm in times that are kind of a lot of trials and whatever's going on, I say, how I respond this way. This is why I have peace, is because, well, this is from this word right here. But all of this just talks about that this word dwells in you richly, and it overflows out of your life, and people see that. Early on, one of the verses that I had memorized is Psalms 119:11. Now, the ESV version, of course, I had memorized the NIV version, but the ESV version said, I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. I actually like the NIV a little bit better. It says, I have hidden your word in my heart. That's why I like this so much better, because the NIV, when it says, I've hidden the word in your heart, what do you hide things that are valuable to you. You're not hiding it to hide from somebody. You're hiding it because you're treasuring it and you're valuing it. So what this points to and what it's looking at is that you're taking God's word and you're putting it in a special place in your heart, meaning in your soul and your being and who you are, and this sort of kind of identifies how your thought process is and how you handle situations. This becomes what's important to you. So there's our first instruction from Paul, is that the word of Christ should be centered in our heart. Well, secondly, I think it tells us the Word of Christ should be centered in our growth. In our growth. It says, teaching, admonishing one another in all wisdom. Now, it's important there. We see that it talks about both teaching and admonishing. Teaching, of course, would be just simply what you think it is. You're giving skills or knowledge to someone else, right? And it's done in the context of a small group. Now, maybe some of you think, well, I'm not a teacher. Well, all of us are called to teach. All of us are called a disciple. We're going to get to that in a moment. But all of us are called to be that sort of teacher and to share knowledge either to your kids or to your friends or to your relatives or what have you. But this is talking about teaching. You're imparting skills or knowledge. And again, it could be in small group. It could just be life on life, as they call it, where you're just sort of telling someone, you have this life and you're going through these different events or seasons of life, whatever, with someone else. And maybe they're in a certain place. Maybe it's not a really great place. And you say, well, look, here's some scripture that I've leaned on before. Let me share this scripture with you. Well, you're teaching them scripture. You're giving them value, right, from scripture. But also says admonishing. Admonishing, maybe another word we were familiar with what admonishing would be counsel. Admonishing often comes in times when you're correcting. But it says that we teach and admonish, that we do so in all wisdom. Now, I love that there's this distinction there where it says in all wisdom, because this sort of this kind of takes the teaching and admonishing and sort of puts it in this category where it says, well, anybody can teach and admonish, but this is saying a special kind of teaching and admonishing. This is talking about doing in all wisdom, so this is pointing right back to Scripture. So here's why I think that's important, because it is a different kind of thought. Now, maybe you'll come back and say, well, what about street smarts, right? There's some value in street smarts. Certainly Scripture cannot handle every situation I might be facing. I can't look up the scripture and say, well, here's John 1:1 or John whatever, or what you'll find a chapter and verse that it has something to do with this particular situation. Certainly at some point we have to have some street smarts. Certainly at some point we have to have the teachings of this world to help us navigate life. Paul doesn't agree with that, and neither do I. When Paul is saying this, actually earlier in this week, and I was thinking about this, and I had posted on Facebook, and I put in there, the wisdom of this world might help you win the day, but God's word will lead to eternal life. Now, what I was thinking about when I wrote that, and what I think this refers to, is that, you know, there is some wisdom we can use that will help us win the day, with the day meaning like this life. You can use street smarts or things you'll learn on the street or whatever, you know, outside of Scripture, and it probably will bring you some success. But there's a difference between having worldly value and having kingdom value. What Paul's talking about is that we teach and admonish each other in a way that has kingdom value. Now, there's certainly okay to understand that biblical knowledge and wisdom, it can be applied in a secular context. In fact, I had made a note that secular application, but also has biblical foundation. There's secular application in God's Word. We take God's Word and we can apply it in secular context, in secular situations, and outside of the church, we can be out there in the world, and we can apply this knowledge, it does apply in these secular applications, but it should always have a biblical foundation. That if you're like, should I date this person? You know, should I take this job? How should I handle this job? I know how everybody else is being successful. Should I do the same thing they do to be successful in my career? There's a lot of different secular type of applications that we may come into contact with, but the answer always is if whatever this advice you were receiving or giving contradicts God's word, then that's just bad advice and you don't follow it. You know, what do I do if somebody punches me in the face, right? I mean, what do you do? Well, the Bible actually really does talk about that. Of course, it says slap, but you know, you see what I'm saying? So we take God's word, and we understand that when we want to have the word of Christ centered in our hearts and centered in our growth, we understand that means something. Now, also in here, I think another note we make before we move on is that notice that in the way this is worded and the way it applies here, Paul sort of makes this observation, if you will, but he assumes that we understand that this involves teaching and admonishing involves more than just you. See, we're not an island. It says when you teach and admonish one another, do it in all wisdom. You're not supposed, by design, we don't learn and grow by ourselves. We're called to do this collectively. We're called to do this as a group. We're called to grow by design as a group. So we are to do this together. Now, that also means that you are, if we have this obligation to help others grow and learn and admonish others in God's Word, that really obligates you to know God's Word, amen? I mean, so you're going to be put in a position where you should be given some advice. You should be in small groups or in some kind of relationships where sooner or later you're going to be called on to offer support or advice. And what do you have to offer if you never study God's Word? You have nothing to offer except for worldly knowledge. But you are obligated, as I'm obligated, to share God's Word with each other. So not only for your own benefit do you study God's Word and learn this Word of Christ, but you do it for the benefit of your brothers and sisters, because we are collectively called to help each other grow in all wisdom. Well, thirdly, it also says the Word of Christ should be centered in our worship. Centered in our worship. It says singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, it is true, obviously, worship is more than just singing, but here Paul's referring to our singing. That we are, in our songs, we have Christ and the Word of Christ centered in our songs. So that's, you know, our song selections, we've kind of said this before, but our song selections are actually, they're selected, you know, Gretchen and I talk about the song selections, right? So they're selected for a purpose. And there's other really great songs that are really popular that we don't sing for a purpose. Not because they're bad songs, but because we want to focus on God's Word. We want to focus on honoring and glorifying God through His Word on who He is. When you look at the Psalms, those are songs, right? Those are written about the different attributes of God and who God is. So, you know, there was a time where you would see the Psalms like those were actually sung. Just like they are, that those were songs that were sung. So this instruction from Paul is like, look, these songs, that when you're doing your singing, if you're singing psalms or hymns or these spiritual songs, maybe they're ones you write yourself, that these also are rooted and come from this application of the Word of Christ. You know, there's also a practical reason, if you think about that, is that you know, when you are... how many of y'all remember songs like, now some of you are younger, so it's not going to be as great a feat as myself, but how many of you all remember songs from your high school days? I could sing some songs like word for word, man. Well, there's some value in you know, learning things in songs and singing God's Word, because it helps you learn and memorize songs. That was a part of, you know, so there was a time when God's Word wasn't always written. It was passed down through oral tradition, and a big part of that was through songs. So that's how they would help memorize the different, you know, scripture and word, and they pass them down from generation to generation. So you know, to take the time to learn these different psalms or songs, and these become a part of your life. This is now making it important to you and having value to you, so you can retain these things and recall them when you need to. So all of this is what Paul is talking about. This is what he's saying. He's saying, look, the instruction, so this instruction when you become a new creation, a part of that is that how you interact and how you handle God's Word. And when we think in our singing, and we think here when we talk about in our singing and our songs and our worship, it says that we do it with thankfulness. We have thanksgiving in our heart when we consider and we sing about God and His attributes in Christ. So where does this thankfulness come from? It's like we are thankful because of what Scripture tells us about who Christ is. So we know who Christ is, and we think about Christ's Word. We think about who is Christ. Well, Christ was he's the Son of God, but you know, he's God in the flesh. He's the Messiah, so He came here for a purpose. And we reflect on that and should reflect on it in our songs. And that's where a thankfulness come from. Why can I not say thankfulness today? That's why we have this thankfulness about who Christ is. We also are thankful about what He's done. When we look in Scripture, we look in the Word, and we see what Christ did. He came on earth and lived this perfect life. And then He died on the cross for our sins. So He gave us this opportunity to be whole, have our sins forgiven, that we can be restored in this relationship with God. That's what Christ accomplished for us. How would you know that? Well, you know that through God's Word. That's why God's Word is so valuable. How would you have the knowledge of why things are the way they are and what's been done for you and where we're headed, where we're going? Which is the next point, is that we are encouraged by what He, Christ, is yet to do. We know all this, and all this knowledge comes from the Scripture. So if you're not reading Scripture, how can you know what all these things are? You won't. If God didn't leave us His Word, we wouldn't know all these things about Him. We wouldn't know where this is headed. We wouldn't know, like, today is a struggle, but tomorrow or in the future is not going to be a struggle. We have something to look forward to. We have this hope. Now, we have this hope and assurance because of God, and we are assured because of the Holy Spirit, but we would not know any of these things if God didn't leave us His Word. So for us to simply only pick up this book on Sundays or set the book down completely, never really pick it up, I mean, it is absolutely shameful for a Christian to live a life that way. And certainly if you're living that way and you are struggling and you in your middle of a trial or a struggle, maybe you need that brother or sister to come up and, you know, give you a little gib slap and say, you know, are you reading your Bible? But the reality is that if you're struggling and you're not reading God's Word, well, yeah, I mean, you're probably going to struggle. There's truth in here that's going to help you in your struggle. It's going to guide you and comfort you. It's going to be in His Word. Look, and people can call it coincidence if they want, but I've been in times where I have been in certain trials or struggles. I've been in kind of a bad place, and I'm like, you know, I'm just going to read God's Word. And I'm praying, and lo and behold, I find this Scripture that is like the perfect Scripture. How many of y'all have ever done that before? It's like the perfect Scripture. Like, wow, I mean, how did I... I mean, you could call it a coincidence if you want. I don't think it is. I mean, it's happened too many times for me to say, well, that's just one of those things. Then I'm in prayer and I'm asking God for a sign, if you will, and He opens, you know, I'm reading God's Word and I find the Word that is comforting or correcting to me. Like, okay, well, this is why you're having troubles there, dummy. You know, here's what you should be doing. So I wanted to focus on this one verse, and I also wanted to keep this kind of short because here's a couple of things. For most of us, this isn't new information, right? We know that we're supposed to read God's Word. So there's no sense in like drawing this sermon out on and on and on about something that most of us already know. So here's what I want to leave you with, is that in your walk as a Christian, if you are not reading God's Word every single day, you know, I'm not saying you're going to hell. That's not what this is about. But you should expect to have struggles. You should expect to have slow growth. You should expect for you know, what does God want for me and what does He have for my life? Well, if you're not reading Scripture, those are the kind of things you should expect in your relationship with God. He's given you His Word for a reason. If you are not reading your Word regularly, if you are not a part of a small group in this church, if you're not seeking to grow in God's Word, I'm saying you need to straighten up, all right? You need to read God's Word. You need to know what it says. If you're having trouble finding a group or finding a Scripture or whatever, just look, email me, man. Or somebody else in the church, and we will help you find a group or find Scripture or find something encouraging in this Word to help guide us. But I don't want this church to simply be one that sort of develops and grows, that even it act like we're cool, right? I don't remember going to be a church that has like fog on the stage. I'm not talking about that. I mean, just we can have programs, but if they're not grounded in Scripture, what are we actually doing here? You see what I'm saying? We've got to be a church that's grounded on God's Word. One thing that I notice I pay attention to is how often do I hear members of the church having conversations about the Bible, right? That's a good indication of a church that's a healthy, growing church, is you see and hear them having conversations about Scripture. What does the Scripture say? Or, you know, just as you sort of grow. If you're finding yourself never in those kind of conversations, that should be a warning sign to you. I'm never having conversations about God's Word. I'm never having conversations about the Bible. I never ponder about what does this Scripture mean and have to ask somebody, hey, what do you think this means? That should be a warning sign to you. And this morning's sermon is about giving you that warning that all that we do, we need to put Christ the Word of Christ at the center of our lives. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for this Word. I thank you, Lord, that it is simple. Father, forgive us that we make it so difficult to learn your truth, that we are willing to give so many excuses and reasons why we have something else to do instead of reading your Word. Forgive us, Lord, that we don't have our priorities the way they should. We sometimes focus on the problems of this world instead of listening to the solution. Father, I pray that this church and all those hearing this Word, Father, will just understand and be maybe reminded of the importance of your Word. And we will apply that truth to our lives. We'll look to you through your Word to try to answer the life's questions. Father, I pray that this church will be one that is always encouraging and always growing, but we'll be growing in your truth. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand?